For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, Parsha Kisisa. And the biggest question in the Parsha, of course, is how in the heck could they do it? The golden calf. Right? Of people that just experienced the ultimate revelation, the giving of the Torah. They experienced the 10 plagues in Egypt. Right? The quintessential miracle, the splitting of the sea. A generation that's called Dor HaDeah, the generation of knowledge. Never will be a generation like that, never has been, and they built a golden calf. That's the main theme we want to explore. Who did it? How could they do it? And what exactly was it? What exactly was the sin of the golden calf? Okay, I'm going to start this class a little unusual. We're going to go straight into the text, read line for line, hit some Rashis, then we're going to go back and try to tie all these pieces together. So bear with me. We are going to go right into the section of the golden calf. Chapter 32, verse 1. Chapter 32, verse 1. Okay, here we go. Vayaram ki boishis Moshe leredet min ahar. The nation saw that Moshe tarried from coming down. He didn't come down. You know, they waited for him. Boishis, he did not come down. Boishis is a contraction of two words, says Rashi. Rashi says boishis means bashesh. Came the sixth hour, according to their calculation. The 40 days was up, and they had counted the night before, whatever it was, instead of the day, whatever it was, they were off by 6 hours. Came that 6 hours, Moshe wasn't here, and we're going to see the panic that ensues because of this. Okay? So, here's the Rashi. Yeah, Moshe said he'd come after 40 days. I need Bab to Bab Shot. I'll come within the 6 hours of the 40th day. Kisabi Mehem, Sha'isa Yom, Allah Aminion, they counted the actual day he went up. It wasn't 40 full days. They miscounted. Okay, they miscounted. So what? So you panic? Wait a few. Maybe you're wrong. You're off your calculations. So you run and build a golden calf. Wait a few days. Wait a few hours. What's the big deal? Let's continue with the Rashi. So what did Rashi tell us the Sutton did? We'll have to explore what this means, the Sutton. Ba HaSatan, the evil incarnation, the same angel of death, all the same entity. The Irvev Ezar Elam, he mixed up the whole world. What does that mean? Here Edemus Chayshich Vafela Varbubia, he caused like a whole confusion and tumult in the world. Lamor Vandai, and he showed a physical tumult in the world. Everything looked dark. He made it dark, and it looked confused, and it looked like just the end. Lamor Vandai makes Moshe. You see, something traumatic has happened. For sure, Moshe died. Moshe died, he told him. Lakach ba abuvia loilam. That's why all this confusion and darkness has come to the world. Amar lahem. Meitz Moshe Shekavar Bo Sheshash V'lo Ba, as it says in Masechta Shabbos. And they ignored the Sultan. They didn't pay attention to what he said to him. Right? So the Sultan continues. And he said, and he showed them a, here it is, Kimin Demus Moshe Elim Asatan Shenaisim Aiso Ve'avir Rekiah Shemayim. So now he showed them a vision. The Sultan showed Bnei Yisrael a vision of Moshe in a coffin, dead in heaven. Here? And now they listen to him. Okay? And then we have the following verses. And we're going to go on and read. Okay, again, chapter 32, verse 1. The nation saw that Moshe was late coming down. You know, the 6 hours up. Vayakala Am Aaron, they gathered to Aaron, Vyomala, they said to him, Kum, Aserlano Elohim, make for us an idol, Shiyochuvanenu, thou go before us, Ki Zeh, remember, Zeh is always pointing to something. Zeh Moshe, they were pointing to the coffin of Moshe, the vision they were given. Ha'ish, you understand, it was a vision, like a prophecy. It was so clear they could point to it. Zeh Moshe Ha'ish, Asher Lano Me'arif Mitzrayim, Lo Yadano Me'ayalo. Moshe, the person that took us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. But you were just told he died. You just told he died. What does that mean? Vayom Aleim Aaron, okay. Aaron's going to try to delay tactics. Give me the gold and silver, and I'll build it, because I'll take my time with it. What happened? Okay. What happened is the people were Zoriz, and they started taking off the gold and silver, and they brought it to Aaron. In fact, some say Micha, this guy who was in Mitzrayim was an idol worshiper, he took a golden plate that said on it, Aleshor, rise ox. You know where this is from? Everybody was busy getting the silver and gold of Egypt. Moshe was busy trying to get the coffin of Yosef. It was at the bottom of the Nile River, in a lead coffin. How are you going to get it? Kabbalistically, Moshe had this metal plate. He wrote on it, Aleshor, rise ox, threw it into the Nile, and the coffin rose. Micha, this idol-worshipping guy, he got a hold of it, threw it in the fire, and it says that an eagle came out, a calf came out. Look inside. Okay, v'yikach mi'adam, Aaron took it from their hands, right? V'yasu eagle masecha, they made this golden calf. V'yomru, and they said, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, this is your God, Israel, Asher Elucha Meretz Mitzrayim. Why didn't they say, Israel, this is our God? No, they said, Israel. Like someone else is talking to Israel. Well, this is the heir of Rab. When all is said and done, only 3,000 people, which is 0.5% of the population, did the sin. And then none of them were pure Jews. They were all the false converts, the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. So that's who did it. That answers one question. The mixed multitude. I truly want to know, then why is all Israel punished for it? Hang on. Verse 5, Vayar Aaron, Aaron saw, what did he see? He saw Masa, saw Netzliach, he saw that they were successful, he saw a calf, a live calf, is one of the interpretations, came out of this fire, when they threw in that metal piece of gold, right? Vayar Aaron, he saw other things. Let's see what Rashi says. What else did Aaron see? He saw Ruach Chaim, he saw that it had a spirit of life in this golden calf, right? But Tavni Short, what else did he see? Sheitzliach Masa Son. Son was successful. What else did he see? He saw, listen to this, Ra'aron Shechur Ben Achaisa Oshay Mochicham Hargo. He saw that Hur, his nephew, the son of Miriam, rebuked them and they killed him. They killed Hur. Okay? Let's move on. We're building something here. Let's keep all these things in mind. Okay, so Aaron builds this altar. In verse 5, Vayikra Aaron v'yomer, and Aaron says, Chag Hashem tomorrow. It will be a holiday to God tomorrow. So Aaron figured Moshe by that time would come down, and in fact would be a holiday. Vayishkimu mamacharas, and they came up early the next morning. He didn't expect this. Vayadu oilos, and they started making offerings to this thing. Vayigishu shlomi v'ayishavam l'atol v'shatu v'yikumu l'tzachek. And they got up and they did, l'tzachek means a lot of things, immorality, idol worshipping, bloodshed. They killed Hur. Verse 7, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, and Hashem speaks to Moshe, Lech red, ki shiches amcha, your nation sin. Go down, your nation sin. What's this your nation? Why does it say the nation of Israel? Again, Rashi, what does that mean? Your nation sin. The heir of Rav, the mixed multitude, shekibalte ba'atzmacha, the giyarsam, you accepted them and you made them convert, you converted them. And I told you not to do it. Right?
Wait a minute.
Hang on. And I told you not to accept them. And you said it'd be good for them to cleave to the Shekhinah. Right? Now, if you have a question how Moshe could do something, specifically Hashem said no, or did not command is more appropriate. Moshe did this several times, and he was praised for it. He breaks the tablets. He's praised for it. Yashakaychacha. That's where that expression comes. He separates from his wife. Certain things you cannot be commanded. You have to want to do out of love. And Moshe understood that. Other things, evidently, you know, he took upon himself. The Arab Rav, the mixed multitudes, been causing a lot of problems, call all the problems there. Whatever reason, that's a discussion itself. Let's go on. The fact is they were accepted into Israel, they caused problems, and that's what Hashem means when he says, Kishichas Amcha, your nation sin, the people I told you not to take out of Egypt. Saru Hermen Aderech, they quickly went off the way, Asher Sivisim, and they made this eagle, right, and they worshipped it. Verse 9, Vayom Hashem Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, I see this nation, Am Kishe Oref. It's a stiff-necked nation. It's a stiff-necked nation. Now this is a quality that's given to Israel for a reason. Stiff-neck is good. We want to be stiff-necked. It's supposed to be used for good things. We'll hit on that later, but we misused it here. Again, the big question is, if it's the mixed multitude, why is all Israel going to be punished? And one of Moshe's defense, we're going to see an interesting defense by Moshe. Several points have to be made, and this defense is for all times, in all situations. Here's number one. Verse 10, leave me alone, says Hashem, and I'll destroy them, and I'll make you a great nation. Verse 11, Lama Hashem Yichra Pecha Bam Pecha. If it's so, if it's a mixed multitude doing this, why are you mad at your nation that you took out of Egypt? Verse 12, this is it. Lama Yomru Mitzrayim Lamor Berao Tziyam. Why should the Egyptians say that you took them out for evil to kill them here in the desert? Right? In other words, it will be a chilul Hashem. It will be a desecration of God's name. We continue to use this in our prayers. Whenever, you know, we may deserve something, but for the sake of your name, because, you know, our name, your name is attached to us. Right? So therefore, for that sake alone, forgive us of our sins. That's a continual thing we always pray. Even though we're not deserving, but so there won't be a desecration of your name, and we're your ambassadors, we represent you. For your name's sake, don't destroy us. And then he goes on with the prayer. What's verse 13? Sechus Avos, the merit of the patriarchs. This is something we always, no matter what, that the merit, Zechor la Avram li Yitzchak u Yisroel Avdecha, Asher nishpat alehem, that you swore to them. Right? So, in merit of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, you know, have mercy on their children. This is something we invoke always. A couple more things. One is confession. The confession is, this nation sinned a great sin. Verse 30. Atem chatatem chata gedoyla. He says to Hashem, Ana chata amaze chata gedoyla. Verse 31. They sinned greatly. That's a defense? Absolutely. That's the ultimate defense. Don't rationalize it as a sin, even though we're saying all these things that Moshe could have said. Really, it's this and that. The bottom line is, we're all responsible for one another. They're part of Israel. We sinned a great sin. Period. Oh, what does Hashem respond to that? Right? Vayom Hashem, verse 34, Lech, verse 33, verse 1, chapter 33, verse 1, Lech Alem Azeh, you can go up from this. If you can admit that you did a sin, there can be tshuva, you can go up from this, no problem. One more final defense, there's many others, but one more I want to hit on, and that's the quintessential 13 attributes of mercy of Hashem. It's in this parsha, right? Hashem, Hashem, Kelrachum Vechanun, right? Hashem, Rashi says an amazing thing, they show Moshe to get dressed like a shliach tzibur, like a chazan with a talis, and always say these 13 attributes of mercy before me, and I'll always forgive Israel. Interesting. In the parsha, we have the greatest sin, we're given the greatest present, the greatest tefillah, the greatest prayer for tshuva, because that's a loving father. Okay, you sin, now I got to give you the ultimate antidote for that. For all future times, we get this tremendous thing that we're guaranteed the 13 principles of faith, whenever we say them in shul, will never be go unanswered. Okay? And that's from this week's parsha. Okay. That's enough, a little bit of insight and the Rashi. Now let's go back and connect all these things. Okay, again, our question, who did it, how, and what, did they do exactly? We have to go back. Again, we're talking about Doradea. We're talking about a nation that experienced ultimate revelation, right? Now, we said a few weeks ago, as a matter of fact, we said at the splitting of the sea, right, that song, Zeh Keli Ve'anveyu, that the children of Israel made that, again, that Zeh, they pointed, this is my God, and I will beautify, you know, I'll adorn him. We said that's Hiddur Mitzvah, beautifying Mitzvah, isn't it? But they said on that verse, Zeh Keli, that we pointed to God, we saw him so clearly, it says, Ma Sharah Shivcha B'yamsuf Lo Ra'a Yechizkiel. What a maidservant saw at the splitting of the sea, the lowest element in Israel, the prophet Ezekiel didn't see. Why the prophet Ezekiel of all prophets? Well, if you look at the Haftorah for Shavuot, the giving of the Torah, it talks about this mystical Kabbalistic concept called Masa Markava. In Kabbalah, there's two big themes, Masa Bereishis, about creation, and Masa Markava, the holy chariot of God. God's throne's in the middle, and there's these four Chayos HaKodesh, four holy animals. Look at it in Ezekiel, the Haftorah of Shavuos. And on the four Chayos, these four Chayos, these four holy animals, one looked like a lion, one looked like an eagle, one had the face of a man, and one had the image of a calf, an ox. And this is the vision that Israel had at the splitting of the sea. Every one of them, they say, for that brief moment, they almost reached the level of Moshe Rabbeinu in prophecy. Oh, by the way, do you know in another portion of Ezekiel, when it mentions these chayos, it mentions the lion, the eagle, the man, but instead of the ox, it uses a cherub. Isn't that interesting? A cherub. You hear? A cherub and the ox evidently somehow are parallel. Keep that in mind. Okay. Now, you got that vision at Kriyas Yamsuf. Now, Ten Commandments. Remember? First commandment was given. Too much for us. We all dropped dead. Hashem resurrected us. Second commandment. Right? Too much for us. We all dropped dead. And at that point, what do we say? Chapter 20, verse 16, Vayomer el Moshe, Vayomer el Moshe, they said to Moshe, Deber ata imanu v'nishma, you speak to us the rest of the commandments. So we're here, V'ayu deber imanu lokim, pen namus, don't let God speak to us anymore, we're afraid we're going to die. It's too much. Shavir Sakelim, it's called in Kabbalah, the breaking of the vessels, too much light. Too much. We need a conduit. We need a go-between. Moshe, you be that go-between. Yes? You got it? Okay. So, back to our question. Okay? How could they do it? Oh, one more thing we have to add here. You know, we talked last week about the balance of free will in the world. When there was prophecy, there was this tremendous drive for idol worshiping. When we lost one, we had to lose the other for free will to be in the world. When anything great spiritual is at stake, in order for us to earn it, we are given a tremendous test. For example, the binding of Isaac, Akedas Yitzchak. Well, you know, that's something that we're going to eat off for all generations. Every Rosh Hashanah we blow the shofar, and Hashem remembers it as if we ourselves were on the Akedah, because we were. Yitzchak was all of us. Right? And it's something we continually pray. Some people say it every day in their services. Akedat Yitzchak. For the merit that Avram was willing to kill Yitzchak, Hashem forgives us many times, and we get a guarantee that Israel will always survive. Tremendous things. You know that? From that incident, we're always... Well, the son did one final trick. You remember we discussed this? You remember this? What was that? He informed Sarah Imenu. What happened? She died because of it. You remember we discussed this? And we discussed the process of tshuva works the other way. The tshuva works, you regret a sin, it's gone. but if a person ever regrets a mitzvah, it's also gone. So when Avram came back and he eulogized Sarah, it says, Uvchaisa, he cried over it, it says it with a small cough. He diminished his weeping. Why? The son was trying to see. Would he say, my beloved Sarah, my partner in bringing people underneath the Shekhinah, if it wasn't for this act, she would be alive. Would he say, I regret doing it, and uproot the mitzvah? It was a tremendous test. Therefore, he diminished his crying, right? But anyway, the son was given free rein to test Avraham, even to the point where he took Sarah Imenu's life, right? And Avraham withstood the test, and we eat off the merit here too. 6 more hours. You know what that means, 6 more hours? That's it. The fat lady sings. It's time for the Mashiach. It's all over. No more Yetzer Hara. This entity, whatever it is, Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, the Satan, is dead forever when the Mashiach comes here. He is given final reign, free reign, to do what he wants to test Israel to see if we merit this. So he gave him a heck of a test. He showed him Moshe in a coffin, dead. Oh, by the way, that wasn't a false vision. A person that goes up to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, chapter 34, verse 28, Lechem lo akal, umayim lo shasah. He didn't eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights. We all know that's humanly impossible. Moshe's body, physicality, was in a coffin. Physically, he was gone. He had become, the people thought, more spiritual than physical. He may be like Eliyahu. He went into a pure spiritual realm. Eliyahu never died. Right? So the vision was true. Oh, by the way, you should know that later in Chukos, they have a similar vision. Aaron dies. They don't believe it. They're shown a vision of Aaron lying in a coffin. A true prophetic vision. That one was true. This one was false. Okay? So now let's put it together. Okay. These people did the sin of the golden calf. Moshe didn't come down. What did they say? Moshe has become a pure spiritual being. We have no go-between. Right? We don't believe in a Getzka. We know there's only God. We had ultimate revelations, but we also know we can't deal directly with God. We'll get killed. We'll get destroyed. We can't handle it. We need a go-between. What are we going to do? Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that prophecy, you know? He gave it to us for a reason at the splitting of the sea. Well, we saw what Ezekiel's going to see, right? B'chayas HaKadosh, Masa Markava. Let's build an ox. Why an ox? That's your question, right? There's a lion, there's an eagle also. Well, you know, the symbol of Yosef was an ox. The physical provider. Yosef provided for the whole world physically during the famine, right? Right, that metal piece that was thrown into the Nile River, Alei Shor, it was thrown in there. Out came an ox because, you know, Miriam gave, in her merit came water to Israel. In the merit of Aaron came the clouds of glory. And the merit of Moshe came manna. Right? So the ox, that makes sense. Prophecy, right? Let's build the ox. Not that we believe in the calf, but that will be our go-between. That will be like the equivalent of Moshe with Yosef, an ox, right? The physical provider. One of the highest HaKadosh. Right? And that's what's behind it. Now, interesting, with all this, it's called Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel. Chet means a mistake. Chet is used in an arching term when you shoot at something and you miss the target. It doesn't say Avera, Avon, which are more like sinning on purpose to make God angry. Chet HaEgel, miscalculation. Okay? But they did sin. So, what does all this teach us? The bottom line of all this is telling you the following. I actually interject one thing. The Beis Halevi says an amazing thing. Going back to our cherubs and the ox were interchangeable, right? You know, he says, the only difference between the golden calf and the cherubs on the ark was one was a command of God and one wasn't. That's it! If it's commanded by God, it's Holy of Holies, Kodesh Kodeshim, it's on the ark, the cherubs. And if it's not commanded by God, right? Then it's avodah zarah. And even though in the Ezekiel's vision the calf and the cherubs are interchangeable, right? It's avodah zarah. You hear the ramifications of this? Do you understand what this means? This means the following: that you can have prophecy, you can be involved in Kabbalah, you can be on the 49th level of holiness, you can have prophecy on the level of almost like Moshe Rabbeinu, and you can build something, LP Kabbalah and prophecy, that will help you get closer to communicate to God. But if it wasn't commanded, and you didn't ask your rabbi Aaron what to do, but used your own logic, it's avodah zarah. That's idol worshiping. I don't care what great prophets you are. I don't care how good it makes you feel. And I don't care how close it makes you feel to God. It wasn't commanded to you. You didn't ask your gadol. You didn't ask Das Torah, your Rebbeim. It's avodah zarah. Says the Gemara, based on our verse, Hashem says, you know, I'm going to forgive them for their sins, for the sin of the golden calf. And then he says, Ubayam pakad pakadati. From those words they learn, you know, on the day that I remember, I'll remember them. Which means, it says the Gemara, every time we sin, the punishment is part, it's an installment plan. Part punishment for the golden calf. In other words, really, we deserve to be destroyed. So what did God say? Moshe, I'll listen to you. I'll forgive them. But the sin is great. So I'm going to let them pay it off their debts and installment plans. And every sin they do, when they get a punishment, they're going to get partial payment for the golden calf. Of course, that makes no sense to us at all, because we know the rule that God does not punish somebody for someone else's sin. Which must mean only one other thing. There must be something in every sin that we do that has a common denominator with the sin of the golden calf. That's the only way that could work. And you know what that is? Ich bin a balabos. Ego. I got a mind. I got logic. I'm not a robot. I don't need to ask Rabbi Thelma what to do. I got brains. I'm intelligent. I'll do what I think is right. Every time we sin, that's what we do. We use our logic, our emotions, our understanding of the situation. We don't consult our Rebbeim, and we build our own golden calf. The question is not how they could do it. The question is, how can we do it? We do it all the time, without prophecy. We repeat the sin of the golden calf all the time. That's the common denominator, using our logic. So you know what happens? It's very interesting. What happens after this? The commandment of building the tabernacle, the Mishkan. The Mishkan is going to be called next week's Parshka, Mishkan Ha'edus. It's a testimony. A testimony that Hashem forgives us for our sin. The last Torah portion involving, you know, there's five Torah portions involving the building of the tabernacle. The last one, Pekudei. 18 times it repeats this statement. It repeats the statement, Kasher Tziva Hashem, Hashem commanded Moshe, Kenasu Bnei Yisrael. That's what the children of Israel did. 18 times that's repeated. Why? Because that is the rectification of the golden calf. Mishkan Ha'edus. The Mishkan, the tabernacle, is a testimony that God forgives us for our sin. Not just because that it's a Mishkan, because how we did it. 18 times. Kasher Tziva Hashem Kenasu. Like Hashem commanded Moshe, that's what Bnei Yisrael did. They didn't deviate one iota. There were so many details. Unbelievable. They could have said, well, you know, I think I can build this parochus a little better. No, not one of them. Everybody involved in the Mishkan, the thousands and thousands of people and all the million little details involved, not one person deviated, not even once, from anything. That's the rectification of the golden cattle, of golden calf. To do it only because God said do it, and no other reason, right down to the very smallest letter. Okay? That's why the Mishkan is a testimony, a rectification of the golden calf. And it rectifies that sin and atones for that sin. Usually, when it's not a leap year, next week's Torah portion would usually be the Parah Aduma. Parshas Parah. We would read Parsha Parah, one of the four special parshas that we read in Adar deals with the red heifer. The Medrash goes in detail. Let the mother come and atone for her child. Para Aduma means a big cow, a mother cow, and we built the eagle, a small calf. You know, let the mother atone. What's it talking about? What's it talking about? Zeis Chukas HaTorah is the way that parsha starts. This is the statute of the Torah. It makes no sense. It's the quintessential chuk. What is it? It defiles. What is the? You take the afar. You take the ashes of the gold, of the red heifer, and you sprinkle it on someone's defiled, and it makes them pure. Meanwhile, you who is pure, it defiles you. Yeah, it defiles the pure and purifies the defiled. That makes no sense whatsoever. That reason, the reason we do that mitzvah, can't be for logic. We have no idea why we're doing it, right? We do it because God said do it. That is a rectification for the golden calf as well, right? The paraduma, the ultimate chak. We're doing it only because Hashem did it. Said do it, okay? Usually all these things follow each other when it's not a Ibrior and not a leap year. We have the sin of the golden calf. We read Parshas Para. We read about the tabernacles, how they all atone for the and you know what follows that? Is usually Purim. Of course, we know we had Purim Karton this last week. When it's not a bit Purim Karton, you know, we have a strange halacha on Purim. We have a halacha on Purim no other time of year to drink Adelo Yada, to drink until you don't know. Right? And there's an explanation. Says Rav Chonoch Alexander, Taklas Hayadia Shiadash Lo Yadea. The ultimate knowledge is to know that you don't know. With all your seichel, with all your logic, the bottom line is the Eibishter is running his world, and you don't know anything. You got to realize, I ain't got to do what you can. I understand, but you understand. You got to have that underlining theme. On Purim, everything didn't make sense. Everything turned about. Right? Cause and effect, you could throw out the window. Right? Nothing seems to make sense. Right? What looked like disaster turned out for our benefit. Haman built the gallows for Mordecai. He was hung on it. Right? Everything that happened turned out for our benefit. Right? He cast the poor to destroy the Jews. He was destroyed on it. Right? Esther's picked as the queen of beauty pageant to be Ahasuerus' wife. It seems terrible. She's used as the instrument to save the Jews. Right? So you drink Adelo Yada. It says, Nichnas Yayin Yetzesed. When wine enters, secrets leave. Secrets, the inner essence of a Jew leaves his body. You know, it reveals, takes off his mask, shows what he's about. You drink Adelo Yada. You drink it to the point that you don't know. The Goyim drink to escape reality. We drink to escape all of Narishkeit and face the only reality. To see clearly everything else is nonsense. There's only one reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You drink until you don't know. Until you don't know. Until you finally realize you don't know. That's what drinking does to you. You drink and you don't know. You can't comprehend things. You can't do anything. You have to reach a state where you don't know. That's symbolic. That a Jew is supposed to get to a point where he should realize he doesn't know. Why is this being paraded as, you know, promiscuous is being paraded as a moral alternative, whatever they call alternative rights, whatever it is, you know, alternative relationships. Why are these crazy things happening in the world? Right? Don't start trying to figure your logic out. Why this is happening, why that's happening. Right? The bottom line is because Baruch Hu's running the world. We don't know anything. The biggest problem we have, the sin of the golden calf, we repeat, is always trying to use our own logic for everything. Okay. There's a lot of politics going on in this parsha. The era of Rav was trying to remove the status quo. They, even though all of Israel was encompassed under the clouds of glory, they were outside of it. They didn't get a portion of Man proper. They got the leftovers. Right? They were unhappy, and therefore they started this trouble on purpose. I mean, with all that, they were still people of very high caliber. You know, meaning that they saw certain revelations that you and I have not seen, right? But this is a mixed multitude of different people. I think the first hint of the Arab Rav, the mixed multitude, is in Bishalach, where it says, "V'hi Bishalach es ha'am." Paro will send out the nation. Ha'am is going on the mixed multitude. That's always any problem we have. There's usually what we're called, when we're doing right, we're called B'nai Yisrael. When we sin, it's ha'am. That's always referring to the mixed multitude. That's the first thing we have, and that would be the appropriate place. Because that's where they're leaving, Yeah. So that's Yashikoyach. Because that's the one thing I forgot. Yashikoyach. Let me tell you how close they were. They missed it by this much. In the next parsha, they're commanded to build those cherubs. And you know where the communication from God came to Moshe? Mi ben shnei kruvim. Acronym Moshe. Mi ben mem shnei shin hakruvim. Says the Baal Turin. Acronym Moshe. That is where the communication came from the divine to the mortal. From God to Moshe, it came between those two cherubs. The cherubs and the calf were interchangeable in Ezekiel's vision. They missed it by that much. In the next parsha, they are in fact, because of the sin of the calf, they show themselves more physical, they show themselves needing a physical conduit, so Hashem said, you know, I'm going to give it to you in a kosher way. Here's the Mishkan. You could have worshipped me anywhere and called upon my name, but you show yourself physical, you need a more, you know, materialistic concept, I'm going to give it to you. And they were so close. What were they commanded about? The cherubs. The exact parallel of that calf. And that's exactly where the divine communication came from. And that's what they expected from the golden calf. They didn't believe in the calf, but they believed that the calf would be a conduit to Hashem to speak to him. That would be an intermediate, just like the cherubs were. That would be the place of meeting of divine and mortal. And they were very close. You don't understand how close they were. Let me spell it out. Why? So we don't relate to it because we don't have that power. But if you can relate to some very crude terms, someone with a lot of wealth or position, right? Okay, the question again, the question on the floor is, and that in fact is what their sin is, why not ask Aaron what to do? That's, you know, that's Aaron, it's Moshe's brother, he's a Kohen Gadol. You know, he's not, you know, chopped liver. Ask him what to do. And that in fact was a sin. So how do we understand such a people not asking Aaron? You know, and doing something on their own. What kind of chutzpah is that? So the bottom line is, when you're that, same thing with Korach. How could Korach do it? How could Korach have the audacity to rebel against Moshe? You know, and he was swallowed up alive. Because he was great. When you're that great, we have a guy during the time of David HaMelech, Achitofel. He was a genius. They say speaking to him was like speaking to the Urim V'Tumim, to the breastplate of judgment. You know, that was like the oracle that God spoke through. Right? He was never wrong. He committed suicide because he wasn't listened to. Right? When you're that great, you know, that I'm going to interrupt myself an 18th time. The Gemara says the following. For in order for a person to be a prophet, he has to be wealthy, Baal Kamoiso, tall or good looking, right? Wealthy, smart, a chacham, and still an anav, and modest. To be modest. In other words, it's very hard when you have prophetic abilities or you have a lot of wealth, a lot of honor, a lot of looks, and still be humble enough to realize that you always have to ask your superiors what to do. Why we can't relate to this is because we don't realize how great they were. They had such a prophecy, and they were almost on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu for those few minutes. They figured they don't need to ask Aaron what to do. Hur tried to rebuke them. They killed them. Aaron saw, so we'll get to what is the sin of the rest of the Jews. We're going to get to that in a minute. But in the meantime, they were on such a great level, and again, that's what Rav Chaim Shmulev says this, Mashra Shifta B'Yamsuf, what a maidservant saw at of splitting the sea, Ezekiel didn't see, yet she remained a maidservant. Because when you are given a revelation free, without working on yourself and building your character traits, it's the worst thing in the world. As we can see. It gets to your head, you become conceited, I don't need to consult anybody. So those things don't last. That's why a golden calf could happen. Because that was given as a gift from God. A revelation, miracles, prophecy that's given to you from God, without you working on it, doesn't last. Bilam had it, Lovin had it. Right? Two types of prophet. There's prophecy that God will use anybody for the sake of Israel. And then there's the prophecy of people, great people like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, that worked on themselves. Moshe Rabbeinu worked on themselves, broke their character traits, and made themselves into a holy vessel of prophecy. That stays with you because it stems with your moral purity, with your moral character traits. Your prophecy is at the same level. They weren't at it. They weren't at that level. They never worked on themselves to make spoils. They were given a free gift or revelation. It went to their head. We don't have to listen to anybody. We already talked about it. It was a political they wanted to uproot the status quo in Israel also. They didn't want to ask Aaron. They didn't want to be told what to do. Okay, now, I'll take your question in a second. What about the rest of Israel? Why were they punished? If you look on in the counting of the Parsha, Moshe says the following thing. Right, he's getting atonement for the sin. Right, and he says, who is for Hashem? Mil Hashem Balai. Who is for Hashem? Come to me. The Asbu Alav Kol B'nei Levi. Chapter 32, verse 25. And all the tribe of Levi came. What happened? Each one took a sword. They killed a lot in Israel, 3,000. Even after killing their own brother, right, they would do it. Not from the same tribe, obviously. A brother from a mother who married a different tribe. Right? So, the big question here is, by the way, this merited them to be the priestly tribe. Until this time, the firstborn male was the Kohen, so to speak. Okay? But they lady earned the kahuna here. The big question is, what was the rest of Israel doing? Right? Okay, and that answers our previous question of why they were in fact punished if only the mixed multitude did the sin. The sin of the rest of Israel was complacency. They stood by and watched. They did not rebuke. They didn't act like the children of Levi did, who took a sword and were willing to kill. Okay? Now, the truth is, at this point, everybody realized what was wrong. Moshe came down, everybody gave it up. Right? So again, everybody gave it up. Why did only Levi was willing to take up a sword when Moshe said, "Who's to Hashem? Come to me." Only they came. And the answer to that, Rav Dessler explains, is you can only be protected on a miraculous fashion if you're wholly, completely devoted to God. Right? The rest of Israel, they knew who they were. They were 99% there. Right? But they knew they weren't so wholly devoted to God that they could pick up a sword and fight their fellow Jew and not be risk being killed. Levi could be guaranteed they wouldn't be harmed because they were on that level that they were totally devoted to God. Okay? He gives an example of this. This is the prophet Samuel. But at any rate, okay, I want to quote and then I'll take more questions. An amazing concept that Rabbi Fran goes over, I think it's the name of Rav Palm, and it's the following, that what's going to happen at the end of days is Mashiach is going to come, right? And all of a sudden, overnight, suddenly everybody's going to believe in God. Everybody's going to, the Christians, the Muslims, are all going to give up all the false ideologies that they have and completely reverse themselves, and instantly everybody will recognize clearly, right, who we are, and truly recognize what Kodesh Baruch Hu is, and that'll be it. And I was like, how is it possible? How is it possible that a human, Mashiach will be human, will come down, overnight everybody will change, instantly. Right? So they say the proof is from our Parsha. You had everybody there, those who were involved with the golden calf, no one was complaining, no one was doing anything against those that were doing the golden calf. They were dancing around the calf. All this was going on. Aaron seemed helpless. What happens? Moshe Rabbeinu comes down. Instantly, no one argues. The calf is thrown. It's burned. Moshe gives him to drink. A bunch of them die. Levi comes, kills a bunch. No one argues. No one protests. Nothing. Instant. So they say, this is a preview. This is a preview. Says Rav Palm, that here you see that when the emes comes, ultimate truth, it melts away all falsehood. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, they see immediately the truth, the mistake, all the falsehood, all the prophecy, all the reasonings, and all the configurations go out the window. So he goes on to say an amazing thing. We have this in our generation. We experience this. If you would have told somebody 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that this tremendous threat, communism, the nation built on atheism, Russia, right? Who is, the Cold War, all these things. If you would tell, overnight, they'll fall apart. Overnight! There'll be no more, this threat. You would say, he's nuts. No way in the world. So, Rav Palm says, an answer. Someone's asking me, what does it mean? What does it mean, the fall of communism? He says, I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means, but I can tell you this much. If for no other reason, it's to teach us this very same lesson. That the Rebbe, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is trying to tell us that that's how it's going to happen. That's how the Mashiach is going to happen. Overnight. If you have any doubt, how is it possible? Overnight, everybody will turn to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? All of a sudden, everybody will believe who the Jewish people are and Hashem is and do away with all their ideologies. This is a little sneak preview of what's going to happen. Just like communism, all of a sudden overnight fell, so too, right? That's what's going to happen. It says the golden calf, that's the first time. The fall of communism, right? Another sneak view, a sneak preview. Grand finale, coming up. Mashiach. Overnight, that's how it will happen. Okay, I want to close with this final voice. It says, we said this Moshe Rabbeinu gets forgiveness for the children of Israel. So, he goes up to Hashem, and he sees that this is an Eis Ratzon, a time that Hashem is receptive to his prayers, and he says, let me know your ways. You know, let me understand your ways. So, and by the way, there's a lot of amazing things there. It says that he spoke to Hashem like panim al panim, face to face. Absolutely amazing things. And from this parsha, by the way, at the end, you have this glow coming off Moshe Rabbeinu's face. He has to wear a veil. It's unbelievable. Some of the most intimate divine communication between Hashem and Moshe is described in our parsha. And this, what we're going to talk about, is going to describe all the history of Israel. Okay, he says, this is chapter 33, verse 13, if I found favor in your eyes, let me know your ways. Let me know your ways. So on this, the Gemara says that Moshe wanted to know, you know, why is there such a thing as the righteous by suffering and the wicked prospering? You know, how is it that you conduct the affairs of man in history, Hashem? That's what I want to know. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer him? He says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you cannot see my face, right? We're going down to verse 18, 19, and 20. Moshe asks, let me see, and he says, you cannot see my face, no one can see my face and live, right? But I'll put you in the cleft of this rock, right? Verse 20, 21, right? And when I go by, you will see my back. But my face you cannot see. Verse 23. I'll remove my hand as I walk by. I put you in a cleft in the rock. My face you can't see, but you'll see my back. Okay? Rashi says on this, when he says, you see my back, that he showed him Kesher Shel Tefillin. Hashem showed Moshe the knot of his Tefillin. Says Hashem wears Tefillin. Whatever this means, we wear Tefillin, says Hashem, Achad, God is one. Kodesh Baruch Hu wears Tefillin, says Mikam, Chai Yisrael, Goy Achad Baretz. Who's like your nation, Israel? One on earth. We're one, he's one. It's mutual love. Okay. So, what in a deeper aspect, what it's saying is the following. When Moshe Rabbeinu wants to understand the ways of Hashem, Hashem tells him, you can't see my face. You won't know it. While it's happening, while it's before you, you won't see my face. You won't understand events as they're happening. Only when you come here, V'yomer hinei makom iti, come here with me, a place with me, if you're on my level, you see everything not through tunnel vision, but through the panorama where past, present, and future are one entity, right, then you'll understand. You have to be with me. You can't see my face. You won't understand what's happened. In the meantime, you're mortal. You can't be with me. So when I pass, you'll see my back. Rashi showed him the knot of the tefillin. In retrospect, you can see my back. After a passage of time, you'll understand all the events in history, how they're orchestrated by me. The knot and tefillin, how they all tie together. How they all make a tefillin knot. The answers to the questions that we have in life of why the righteous suffer and why the wicked seem to prosper, it's all because we're not there makom iti with Hashem. We see everything through tunnel vision. We don't see the entire performance. When we look back at the end of days and we see how all of God's ways were just and perfect, then we'll realize how truly limited we were in this world when we saw just one line in the script. I close with this because individually, in every one of our lives, we don't understand why we all have certain trials and tribulations that we have to suffer. Setbacks, where it's emotional or physical or financial or language, we shouldn't open these things, but we all have some form of traumas in our life. And we have to know this too, that that's also guided by an ever-loving Father in Heaven for our ultimate rectification and our ultimate perfection. These things are needed. Until the time of the May Mashiach, when we will in fact see how all this fits together, the Na'at Tefillin, Hashem will remove the veil from eyes, we'll see how perfect and righteous are all His ways, how everything was being orchestrated for our benefit, then, you know, for the very same things that we're crying now, we're going to sing songs of praises. We're going to see those was exactly what we needed. Until that time, though, ours is a test of Emunah. And to understand that sometimes you need not understand. Thank you. Absolutely. One of the major lessons from this is exactly what you're saying. That there is, you can't make even Moshe into an idol. We do not need an intermediary. We, one of the 13 principles of faith is we pray directly to God. That's we left that out. It's 100% right. Their religion stems on that very basis, which was the sin of the golden calf. Even though we felt, you know, for righteousness, the bottom line is we pray directly to God and nobody else. And the cherubs, you know, that thing, if it wasn't commanded, it would have been idol worshiping. That's the most perplexing thing. We have a command in the Torah not to have graven images. It's a complete contradiction to the cherubs. If it wasn't a command from God, you're 100% right. It's 100% right. This is one of the main lessons of the Parsha. We pray directly to God, and not even without a Moshe, we go on. You know that nice old man, the Chofetz Chaim?
Yeah.
Everybody knows the nice old man. So, this is a story Rav Shimon Schwab tells with the Chofetz Chaim. He went and he stayed with him once. And so, he said to Rabbi Schwab, he goes, you know, when the base of Migdash will be rebuilt, he says, I'm a Kohen. And I'll be doing the Avodah inside. I'll be doing the service to Hashem inside, you know, to the sacrifice and everything, while you will be jealously, extremely jealous, on the outside, saying it's not fair. He's on the inside getting the service of God, and I'm on the outside. Chofetz Chaim speaking. So, what do you think Chofetz Chaim was trying to grizzle, put salt in the wound? So he says, you know why? You know why that is? This is when Rav Schwab was a young man. He says, because my Alta Zevi, my great grandfather, he stood up and was counted, and yours didn't. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Mi LaShem Alai, who is for God? Come to me and grab a knife, be ready, a sword, and be ready to kill." All my ancestors came to Moshe, while yours remained complacent and didn't come. So I'm not trying to grisha you. I'm trying to teach you something. That remember, there's going to be times in your life when you're going to have to make decisions, and you're going to have to hear that voice that goes out, "Mi LaShem Alai, who is for God? Come to me." There's times you got to stand up and be counted, and speak out against the evil that's going on.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.